Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. The General Assembly voted a few years ago to allow community colleges to decline to offer low-interest federal loans to students, making it harder for many students to attend a college to learn a trade or marketable skill. The Institute for College Access and Success issued a report about the problems that creates, and we talked earlier this year with the Institute's director, Debbie Cochran. Well, thanks for being with us on News and Views. We appreciate your time.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about the report. First of all, what were you trying to find? How did this report come about?
Become aware a few years ago that some community colleges are not offering federal loans to students who might need them. Now, this is not about all federal aid eligibility. This is colleges who know that some of their students do need federal aid and provide federal grants to them, but basically withdraw from the loan program so that students who need to borrow can't have access to those loans. We're concerned about that because, you know, community college students do still face significant costs of going to college, even if their tuition is lower than at other types of colleges. And some of them do need loans to get by.
And what did you find overall?
We found that nationally, almost 1 million students are enrolled at community colleges that have chosen not to offer loans. How much varies regionally by state. In North Carolina, for instance, we found that 36% of students are enrolled in colleges that have declined to offer loans.
Obviously, we had a debate about this recently, a couple years ago, after the Republicans took over the North Carolina General Assembly, and they allowed colleges not to offer the loans and claimed that they were putting federal funding at risk because of default rates and a lot of other reasons. Have you seen that as around the country as justification for this, and what do you make of it?
Haven't seen the type of activity that's been happening in North Carolina and other states. It's actually quite interesting because, you know, if going back even a few more years, colleges were allowed to offer loans or not, and then the Republicans required the colleges to offer loans. And then, you know, fast forward a year or two, and then the Republicans were pulling back that requirement. Certainly, colleges across the country are concerned about what it will mean if too many of their borrowers default on federal loans. Specifically, the U.S. Department of Education tracks a default rate for each college. And when the default rate gets too high, the college can lose eligibility, not just for those loans, but also for those grants. You know, it's a real concern. I think what we see, though, is sometimes outsized fears. You know, colleges that are pulling out of the loan program, for instance, when their default rates are nowhere near the thresholds that they would need to get to before the college was cut off from federal aid. We also see not enough recognition, I think, within the colleges of the importance of loans for students or the reality that they can do things to influence their default rates.
One of the things that came up in the debate here, of course, is that students who are enrolled who don't have the means are often turning to either unscrupulous lenders or credit cards with high interest rates just to pay their living expenses while they get a degree or even get a high school equivalency, and that this would obviously federal loans would be a much better way to do that.
Absolutely. It's very concerning when we see colleges that are pushing students towards private loans, particularly when they have chosen not to make federal loans available. And that's something that a number of community colleges that have stopped offering loans are doing across the country. You know, they're basically acknowledging that their students will need to borrow, but then they're pushing them towards private loans, which are costlier, riskier, and have far fewer consumer protections than federal loans do.
When you say nearly 1 million students have no access to federal student loans, and I guess there's no way to quantify probably how many students may not be able to attend community college because they don't have access to student loans and aren't willing or are worried about accessing private loans.
We have no way of knowing that. I think we also don't have no way of knowing how many students, you know, in without access to loans are making decisions, you know, maybe to enroll, but to enroll half-time instead of full-time, which impacts their ability to succeed in school. You know, or how many students in lieu of loans are working extra hours, which also impacts their ability to succeed in school. So there's a real success factor here as well.
It's also interesting that you broke down, in some cases, the ethnic breakdown of the students who were affected. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we saw in our report that, you know, Latino students, African American, and Native American students were all disproportionately lacking access. You know, white students nationally, about 7.5% of them lacked access. For African Americans, for instance, that went up to 12.4%. Quite a difference. We also, in this report, looked at where the college was located and whether it was located in an urban area, which we defined as a, you know, a city or a suburb, or a non-urban area, which is a rural area or a town. And we saw a significant discrepancy there, too. 6.5% of students at urban schools were lacking access compared to about 14% at non-urban schools.
It's also interesting that this is happening or has happened at a time when I think a lot of political leaders would say one of the solutions to the changing economy is that folks who were laid off at a factory or people maybe who didn't have a degree at all should go back and make themselves more marketable. And yet it seems in some cases we're making it more difficult for them to do that.
I think that's exactly right. You know, I think the context that we're also operating in here is that college costs have been going up. And again, I'm not just talking about the tuition costs, but all the costs of going to college, textbooks, for instance, transportation, room and board, all of those are federally recognized costs of going to college and being a student. So these costs are going up, and grant aid, which doesn't need to be repaid, is not keeping pace. And that's true for federal grant aid, it's true for state grant aid. And so that's when we see more and more students at all types of colleges turning to loans. You know, students don't go to college wanting to borrow, but they have to borrow sometimes when their savings and earnings and grant aid isn't enough to cover college costs. And so we're seeing college costs rising and grant aid not keeping pace, and in many cases, grant aid at the state level even being cut. So to see, you know, colleges and states pulling back from loan access is particularly troubling.
Do you think that the publicity about the student debt that a lot of folks are facing at four-year institutions or professional schools and the heated political debate about that is influencing state policymakers' decisions about community college loans?
Outside of a few states, North Carolina being one of them, it's unclear how much state policymakers are really following the issue of community college student loan access. I certainly do think that the general tenor of the debate around student debt is influencing local decisions, whether those are at the state level or even more regional. I think there's a lot of fear of debt, all the kind of broad pronouncements of how many students have a debt and how much debt and what it means in the aggregate. You know, they make for good headlines, but it's sometimes lacking some of the nuance. You know, for many students who borrow, most in fact, students are taking out loans that enable them to get an education, which allows them to get the job that enables them to repay the loan. So that's kind of a financial equation that works in a lot of cases. And so sometimes that piece of the puzzle is missing from the discussion.
And finally, before I let you go, and this may sound obvious in the context of your previous answers, but what's the implication for policymakers? If a North Carolina policymaker reading this report, what should he or she take away from it?
I think state policymakers can consider what would make sense in their state to do. Clearly, there's been a lot of back and forth in North Carolina, but there might be other ways to go either in North Carolina or in other states. You know, there might be other ways for state policymakers to improve accountability for colleges that don't offer loans. For instance, colleges, you know, who don't offer loans are not being held to the same standard, essentially, when it comes to accountability for their grant aid. So policymakers might want to kind of make up for some of that accountability gap, or state policymakers might want to figure out if there's a way to provide an incentive for colleges to offer loans. And it's certainly something to consider when state policymakers are making decisions about state grant aid and what the reaction will be in a community college space if state grant aid is, you know, reduced.
Well, thank you for doing the report, and we appreciate your time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.